A special shout out to our sponsors, Oceanstone Architectural Lighting, a fully customizable track lighting system for your home, controlled by an app on your phone. Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome back to another episode of Quick Tap Rugby Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. Like always, I'm joined by MLL star, San Diego Legion, and USA Rugby star, Nate Augsburger. What's up, my brother?
What's happening, CJ? It's good to be back. Good to be back. That's on, good. Brother.
Also, always joining us is celebrity chef, Chef Rock, host of the Chef Rock Show. But let me just say this to you this way. This week he's a little sore, and I'm going to try to be nice to him this week and be a little polite. So when he gets off track and runs a little rampant and starts talking off into the deep blue sky, I won't talk crap about it. You know what I'm saying? So, Chef Rock, how you feeling, brother?
I'm doing good. So basically, what you're saying is, you know, it'll come. It's whatever it comes out of my mouth will be from the meds. Whatever. That's what you got. So, I stopped taking the meds just for you guys, just for the show.
So every week, every episode prior to this one, you were on meds, or it was just you?
Yeah, you know, just me, baby.
Oh, nah, that's good. 100%
square.
Yeah, so, Nate, the team had a big win this past week, man. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about rugby, the league, the season heating up and teams getting hot. And you're in the middle of the season now. How do you feel, brother?
Yeah, we got nine rounds down. And I think most people can tell that LA is probably playing some of the most consistent and best rugby. So I'd say they're at the top. But outside of that, every team's pretty much fighting for a spot at this stage. Legion, everyone's still in it for the most part. Yeah. I mean, obviously Legion's win this weekend keeps us very much so in it, but we got a huge battle in the West Conference, but NOLA was the top team of the East and we were able to down them. New York beat LA last week. Then they lost to Austin. So Austin didn't do us any favors. And then Toronto is the only other team in the league that's played nine games like us. And we're very eerily, very similarly in the same spot in our conferences. And I think Toronto is starting to play some good rugby. So they handled business against Houston. And then, so really, really there's everything to play for all the teams, Legion included. All right. And it's exciting. It makes the league really fun. And the rugby's been a lot better. So the parity's just been better. You know, there's no team that's just scratching and clawing for their first victory or anything like there has been in the past.
No, man, I'm looking forward to after you guys come back, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, man. It's starting. At first, I was a little scared. I was a little nervous from the way the season started. But right now, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a little pumped up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Everyone should be excited.
Yeah, close to the team I am with, you and the team and stuff like that. So I'm super excited. Now I just hope you the open continues. I got all my fingers crossed and all my toes and everything crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could reach them. You know what's funny is that if you go back and you look at the history of sports, teams that have lost at the beginning of the season and then make a comeback, and like Patriots and I mean some of these other great teams in different sports, ran it right to the end and became the champs. You know, you guys are at that stage right now where, you know, a lot of the games are pretty dang tough.
I think we're more taking the Giants route this year, you know, like we're going to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl eventually, but we got off to the start, but there was definitely something different about this weekend and we got to tap into that. So
awesome.
Kicking butt, guys. That's all.
That's all right, it, man.
That's all we can say.
Well, I'm pretty excited today. We have a good teammate of mine, a good friend of mine, Dylan Audsley. He's a USA Eagle. He actually graduated from St. Mary's, so he's a product of American rugby coming out of college, and obviously has been playing great rugby. He's an identifier for us. He's the type of guy we want on the field for Legion, especially when it comes to defense. So, Dylan Audsley, welcome to the show, man. It's good to have you.
Thanks.
What's up, Devin?
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. Obviously, that was really nice, Nate. Probably the nicest thing he's ever said to me.
No, stop that. Come on.
He
knows I pump him up when he's under the bar in the gym. I just give him a little bit of extra oomph. And
Nate, he's always been a role model for me through my rugby. And I mean, having him as a leader, my first USA camp, and anything he's ever asked me to do, I've always, you know, done it without hesitation. So to get the opportunity to come and chat a bit with you guys was, you know, I'm excited. So
you're
a perfect person for this weekend, Dylan, because I mean, we got the big win this weekend. You know, a ton of guys on NOLAS, old St. Mary's teammates and good buddies. And, you know, I got Cam Dolan and Dino as well, obviously close to my heart over there. But I mean, we look like a totally different side. And Nola, Dino was saying that too. He's just like, man, you guys are just a different team than what we prepared for. What, give us your thoughts. What did you think on the weekend as a whole?
So, I mean, obviously it's super exciting to see the guys get the result. And, you know, you definitely want to ride that win going into the off week and then coming back and running that high. I think that the way we defended it was indicative of how hard we've been working to put that together. It's just there's been so many moving parts, and you have new guys coming in and guys getting injured. I think this weekend just showed how much work we put into this small detail on defense, because we had three or four tries that went the other way directly resulting from our turnovers. And that, if you look back over the last three seasons, like, that's a big part of our game: defending, loving every second of it, and then getting that ball back and eventually going all the way down the other end. With Nola and how they set up for us, I was talking to a few of their guys midweek, you know, they're kind of going back and forth. I definitely got the inclination that they were super confident coming into the game.
Yeah.
And that's why I definitely knew, because we were putting in so much work. It was like, I'm very quietly confident that we were going to win this game.
What was the difference in your preparation for that game?
So we've had the detail on defense has been huge for us. And I think after last week's loss in Seattle, there were a lot of, there were some heads that went down after the game. And, you know, because we're playing the team that's bottom of our conference. So we're trying to make a statement there. New guys come in. It was a close game. We were in it to the end. And I think, you know, at the end there, it was like, you hit that low, but then we came back, we reset on the Monday. We had a couple team meetings, the drivers met, the guys who were leadership types in the group. and we took some ownership as to what had happened on the field. And with the coaching staff, we sat and we met, said, we want to take ownership going into this week and kind of run the show a little more and really nail down some of those details. But yeah, I think it was the leadership types in this group. We weren't going to sit down and just continue to allow us not to perform.
You needed that loss to motivate you and focus.
Yeah, I think so. And I depending on what loss that was going to be, it just happened to be Seattle, and hopefully that is our turning point of the year. Because I think after the Nola performance, we can all have a lot of confidence going forward. And I said it during the week. It's like, guys, we just need to play like we have nothing to lose. We're not the old Legion anymore. We're a different team now. We just play like we're having fun, first of all, because we are doing what we love. And just play like we have nothing to lose, because Nola, going into that game, they've got everything to lose. You know, they're top of their conference. Their conference is very, very tight. We're kind of behind, but chasing the pack still. I think at this point, it's like we're just putting together week by week, performance by performance going forward.
Hey, Dylan, does the coach come in? And like, I know in football of years gone by where, you know, in American football, but do the coaches come in and give you that rah-rah after, you know, a loss or a win? Do they come in? I don't know how it works. Do they come in and discuss?
Yeah, I think with other sports I've played, definitely with American football, I've found that, you know, there is a lot of that rah-rah, that kind of get hyped up. and then right. get out there and start smashing heads. But I think with rugby, we have two coaches who are fairly analytical. And so when they do get amongst it, they do, you know, if we get a big win or a loss, like there'll maybe be some words said as far as motivating you. But I think with our coaching staff, like they want to get specific and tell us exactly what we can do moving forward, or what we did wrong, what we did right, what we can do more of. I hope that answers that question.
Yeah well, that's when we turn to some freaking bat out of hell, like Dean Muir or Pete Malcolm or OT. We get to one of those guys and we let them just kind of take the fire up process, you know? Like, we turn to each other if we need the energy, you know? It can't always come from the coach. And Dylan's hit it on the head there. I think this weekend, more so than others, like there's just a belief and an energy amongst the group. And obviously that's Joe returning. Joe's a big part of what we've been doing, obviously, for the last few years. We're just confident this week, man. And our kicking game, Dylan, we've missed Dylan for kicking. He's one of our kickers. We've had Santi is out. We've had a lot of different people taking up, you know, tasks that usually they wouldn't have to. And so to have Joe back and he was picking corners, putting it through the post, and to have Tyanosa come off the bench, who had some great kicks in the second half. I thought that was definitely a big part of, you know, keeping the confidence in the boys, putting them in the right spot of the field where they can go and be the best they can be, you know?
So this was a turning point the season.
Definitely. Has to be. Definitely. Has to be. If we're going to chase, it has to be.
One of the things I love working with you, Nate, is that I start to listen to you and you talk more and more like a coach. Every single episode, we get together, you talk more about the coach.
So you're
breaking down the game, about breaking down the players, stuff like that. So when you were preparing for this game, because you're part of the team, you're part of the thing, did you have the same feeling that Dylan had? This was our turning point. This last week's loss, I mean, the prior game loss was our turning point. We were going to get better. We're at a breaking point. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I did. I totally did. I mean, our backs couldn't be any more up against the wall than it was going into NOLA this weekend. I personally. If you add up the season, the way it's going, you start talking about, are we really controlling our own destiny here? Or are we relying on other people to do different things in their performance? I thought this week was the back against the wall week. And because I'm an old head and I've been on Legion long enough, very, very reminded me a lot of year one. Year one, we had a couple losses, a couple uncharacteristic performances. The USA guys, myself included, we had to bounce, and the guys who stayed back with Legion had to fill certain spots, and they responded and they won three off the cuff and we made it into playoffs. So, you know, we're all pretty confident in what we're capable of, but we're just going to take it one step at a time. And right now it's a bye week. So, you know, the best thing we could have done after a win is exactly what you think we'd do. Get together and have some beers.
Yeah.
We're still riding the wave, aren't we, Dylan?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had to earn it first, but yes, it was I think it was well deserved. We got amongst it, and
I got another question for our guests, because I don't want to run out of time and get to it. But Dylan, you know, guy's a world-class player, guy plays professionally, but you also enjoy outdoor adventures. And I just wanted you to have a moment to share with us your appreciation for going on trips, hikes, whatever you want to call them, you know, being up in the mountains and whatnot, and what that does for you and how that plays a role in your rugby career, your professional career.
Yeah. So every off season now, barring the first year, I've done a lot of different backpacking trips. I go up usually into the Sierras. And it's funny, people do a lot of traveling extensively, and you go to New Zealand to get into nature. You go to even Montana or somewhere far away. And I think in California, it's just like, I grew up in London. So I have a different perspective on how appreciative I am of what I do actually have around me. Like, you know, the ocean, my brother's a big surfer now. But I like going up into the mountains for me, it kind of started in college. I had a head coach who, he'd take us on different backpacking trips, you know, it'd be like 2-3 nights with the boys. The coach would be there, mostly be like leadership types. And then you'd do another trip during the year with the whole team. And you just see, like, I mean, it's kind of shared shared suffering, because a lot of that hiking, you've got like 50, 60 pound backpack. You're out in the mountains. There's no phones or anything. You have to get amongst each other and talk. So that's where I kind of built the appreciation of it. And then from there, I've just, yeah, every off season, I try and get out and do as much as I can. I did a lot of Shasta Trinity National Forest up north.
Oh, nice.
This past summer, I actually hiked the Mount Shasta, which is, I think it's the highest point I've ever been to, is 14,000 feet. This was during COVID, so I wasn't in exactly the best hiking shape. I thought I was going to be very well prepared, but that altitude, it will get you. Stuff like that, it's just experiencing that with friends and being able to just be out amongst nature. It definitely clears my mind. I've become very appreciative of the environment and what things we can do to kind of further ourselves to be more environmentally friendly. And then I guess I'll share, I got a permit for the John Muir Trail this summer, which is like, I'm very, very excited for that, which will be in September. So that will be 5 months post-op. So that's really my motivation right now, is to get healthy for that. And then at the end of that, it's a 200 mile trek through the Sierras.
Wow.
About 3 weeks long. And it's supposed to, it's one of the most beautiful stretches of mountain ranges in the world. And so if I can finish that, right now I'm putting no pressure on myself to finish the whole thing, but if I can get on trail and do a section of it, I'll be very, very happy, just because.
Where is that, Dylan? Sorry, I don't know.
No, you're all right. So if you think about Yosemite, Kings Canyon, that stretch of mountains.
Mm.
So if you're looking at California, it's like LA's here, just northeast, you'll hit the Sierras, and that whole mountain range stretching all the way up to Tahoe. That's kind of the John Muir Trail would go through that stretch of mountains. And it ends at Mount Whitney, which is another 14,000 foot mountain.
Sure.
Better you than me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely, if I can get to it, then you'll be seeing a lot of pictures on Instagram about it. So.
Just got to get the foot in shape, awesome. Right? You got to be in shape for that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And that's where one of my many strength coaches, mentally, physically, Nate Dogg there, will definitely help me out.
Dylan's been doing one-legged rowing machine fitness conditioning. All right. So he's not messing around here. The guy knows how to put a shift in. He's going to be all right.
No, that's
feel bad.
Well, this is usually the part of the show where Chef Rock gets a little crazy and tells a crazy story.
I was just going to say.
So go ahead now. Share some story about
how you used
to hike in your boxer shorts and one-legged up a mountain stuff. So go ahead and tell us that.
No, I just wanted to make, because people are watching it going, what the hell happened to Chef Rock? He's a little deformed there. No, I am not breastfeeding a baby puppy. I tore my rotator cuff, so I had surgery last week. So it's basically my arms strapped to my body. Now I'm listening to Dylan going, I got to get ready for a 200-mile walk, and I'm going, crap, I'm trying to just get off the couch. I'm going, what can I do? I can only imagine when you guys have injuries. I mean, it's a little different world for you. For me, I'm still doing what we do. And it was funny because right before surgery, they were sending me up and they put the little anesthesia thing in there. And the lady asked me, she's reading my, my chart there. And she goes, TV, what do you do for TV? I started telling her a story. And all of a sudden I got like 10 people in there in the little room listening to the story I was telling. And they're all, and I could hear doctors yelling for them. We got to get back to work. I was telling them one of my Monte Carlo stories or something like that.
See, Dylan, this is the part of the show. We prepare ourselves for this part. We call it the Chef Rock moments. And, we got to live through them. He's an old man, so we got to let him do it.
Let me do it.
You could have a little sound bite that goes off, like right when he just goes.
There you go.
Like a siren.
Yeah, a little siren. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Incoming.
Incoming.
Jeff adds his flavor to the show, man.
Right? Oh, he does.
Incoming thought pattern.
We couldn't do this without Chef Rock, because, we sit here, it'd be boring. It wouldn't be good. So,
yeah. Come on.
But Chef Rock, you're done now, right?
What's that now?
You're done, right? You're done, right?
Oh, with the story? Yeah. I actually wanted to cut it short because of those meds I'm on. I have a little short-term memory loss, so I don't want to be in the middle of the story and then just kind of...
All right, so I'm going to let you go then.
I'm sure.
we'll get back to Dylan.
I'm feeling good.
So you guys see a big win like this happen, a turn in the season. And this is for the question for the both of you. It's a big turn in the season, a big shift, so to speak. How are you dealing with that emotion that you're not physically part of it? You're mentally part of it because you're hanging out with the team, you're training and stuff like that, but you're not physically part of it. How do you deal with that? What is your thoughts? What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head there. It's like the mental side of it is so important, especially, I mean, for a guy like me or anyone really, I think once you do get injured and you can't take part in those physical activities, like even the week that I had that I was bedridden, I couldn't move. During that week, you get towards the end of that week and you're like, I cannot wait to just go and watch training. And then you get amongst it and then you start, you know, you start analyzing, like you said, like Nate Dogg sounds like a coach sometimes, but it's because he's watching the game, he's analyzing and he's seeing it from a different perspective. So I think in some ways it's, you know, you benefit in different ways because you get injured and then you see the game differently. You get a different appreciation for different nuances in the game. And you might come back and say, I really have to work at this because this is how important was this during the season last year. But yeah, I mean, I'd say me and Nate are definitely both dealing with it by trying to be more active, more involved amongst the guys. You know, any kind of team outing and
totally
the boys is definitely so important right now.
Yeah, we kind of get to restore our gratitude by being around the team, you know, because we do have the HQ. So we know where guys are going to be at. We're still on the schedule, you know, we're on par with everything that the team's going through. And, you know, it's like one of those, like Dylan, when he was in his bed, he didn't have the choice to get up and go. But now that me and him are both getting mobile, we really hope that the team's benefiting from having us around. But also, I mean, I can't say it enough. And Dylan, I'm sure I speak for you and most of the injured boys, like being able to ride off the energy that they give to us, to see them working hard, see them committed. And like, I mean, they're our brothers. We want to see them succeed. Like it's 10 times harder to watch our team go out there and struggle than it is to watch them go out there and smash someone. You know what I mean? Right. So, you know, it's a two-way street. I think we're getting a lot out of it. Like I'm being lifted up by the guys on the team through my injury, which is super important. And then obviously, hopefully, you know, like Dylan says, we got the different perspective and hopefully that we can bring some type of contribution to the table for the team to help them compete, help them be in a place where they can play winning rugby, you know, and have fun too, you know. It's always good to have a couple lighthearted guys around, maybe aren't as in the midst of it and, you know, can ask some different questions. So
I definitely,
I saw you right. Go ahead, Dylan.
I was just going to say, you made me think because the thing you said about energy, us feeding off of the team feeding off of us. And it's kind of, it's funny because during the game, when Joe went 100 meters on that try, Otti Pifoletti, one of our props, as soon as Joe was probably at the halfway, so he hadn't scored the try yet, Otti was still on the goal line looking towards the injured crew, screaming at us, you know, because we were screaming for Joe, looking down the field at Joe, and Otti had turned straight to us and was flexing his muscles and screaming. So indicative of exactly what you just said, because he's fighting for us because he knows how important it is to us, and we're screaming for him.
You guys feel that power, like you just mentioned, Dylan, from the players that are out there that are projecting it over to you guys, is good healing power for you guys to be repaired faster? Do you feel any of that kind of energy?
I think so. I know that Nate and Ryan shared with me a story of, I think it was in a book that you guys had read about envisioning.
The Zen master.
There you go. Envisioning small workers going around in your body and looking after, basically chiseling away at my ankle right now, pouring cement and concrete and making everything stronger, but envisioning that every night, like, you know, I mean, obviously the power of the mind, excuse me, is obviously really important, and anything that we can use to try and get healthy faster.
I always tell people, I know I'm getting prayed for because my mind feels like it's in a good place. I'm going to the gym. I physically am still capable of a lot. And I just feel like, you know, all those things, we could talk for days about the diet and all those, nutrient chemical things for the body to heal, but you're kind of on the right track there, Chef, like getting to experience a weekend like this weekend, you know, it does something to you that is kind of hard to explain. And I mean, I've definitely felt better from being around the guys, but also from getting to witness things like that. It puts my mind in a good place. And,
Scared me, brother. You scared me, man, because I saw a video on Instagram, you riding a bicycle. I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man?
I got my 3 weeks.
You know what I'm saying? Get on an exercise bike, homie. You want to ride a bike, ride a stationary one, dude, because you fall off the bike, you hurt yourself.
You should have seen me. I was in the gym doing single leg box jumps. You know what I mean? Like, it's all good.
That's in a controlled environment, man. But you're on the street riding the bike, bro. I was like, man, get off the bike, bro. Get off the bike.
Chris, they're young studs. We would do the same thing, maybe.
I'm an old man now, so I think twice about everything.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Trying to figure out how I'm going to write my name. Yeah.
Dylan bought a freaking electrical bike scooter as well
to
get around on.
Well, because it's my right foot, so I can't drive at the moment. So I bought this. It's like an electric scooter. I'll get like 30 miles out of it.
Nice. He's part of a biker gang called the Wild Horses.
self-proclaimed as well, you know.
Self-proclaimed Wild Horses. Slowly growing. We don't really know, but
meeting at Starbucks for coffee in the morning.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's put it this way: when they first got the bikes, there was about four other guys really ready to join Wild Horses and spend the money and get in the gang. I think they've kind of gone past a week, and I don't know how many guys are really going to bite now. Hype is.
Yeah, the excitement, the hype has kind of died down a bit.
Yeah, the spontaneous electrical bike move. I don't know. But that bike's beach ready. That bike's beach ready. It's got the fat tires, so it's road, you know, road ready.
You can go on the beach with that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's definitely a bit of fun. It's nice to just be able to
cruise
around a bit.
Right. So did you get the leather shorts that go with it?
Oh, yeah, no. Like everything leather
AC
is
Duke leather shorts.
Yeah, I just got rid of all my clothes and everything's leather now, so.
All right.
Chef Ruck don't want to show you his leather.
Yeah.
Kind of leather you got. I feel like Chef would have been a part of a biker gang.
I rode a Harley.
Hey, there's room. There's still room. That's in the what Wild Horses. Huh? You guys want to join?
Listen,
there's still a couple applicants left.
Yeah.
Dylan just said, Chris, that we can join.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, I don't believe in exercise, bro. I don't believe it. Listen, Dylan, we got a couple minutes left. So tell us what you're looking forward to the end of the season. The rest of the way for the season, the second half, coming out of the bye, what are you looking forward to?
The one game I'm really looking forward to is playing LA again, because they're definitely, you know, they've set the benchmark in this league so far. They were made to bleed by New York. You know, that was exciting to watch that, you know, they are touchable. They can be beaten. They're all human. I think that, because that will be a great measurement of how far we were progressing. Because there were, I mean, you look back at the LA game, there were points where we had a lot of possession and we scored a few points in the second half. So that's a game that I'm really looking forward to. And then, you know, when we make playoffs at the end of the year, I think that
there you go.
That will be, that definitely will be exciting. And to be back at Torero, obviously,
that's a big boost.
Can't forget how important that stadium is to us. And having just the fans there, they've always been phenomenal.
It's part of the feel.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's part of being Legion and having that family mentality. We've moved around so much. I think once we get back to Torero, there'll be so much energy to feed off of, as we were talking about.
The home fan crowd.
Awesome. Exactly. Hey, Dylan, man, I want to thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it, man. And Thanks, Dylan. Good luck to your speedy recovery and to your health. And I'm excited for the team. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you and Nate getting better and healing yourself. So, you know, thanks again for coming on. Hope you have you back on the show, man. And really appreciate it. Some parting words from you, Nate.
Parting words, Legion faithful, stay on it. All right, we're coming. We're healing up right now. We got the week off. All right, but we're all business, baby. Outside of that, everyone stay safe, stay blessed, and we crack on into week 10 this week in the MLR.
With that, we'll say quick tap out.
Quick tap out, brothers.